Good morning. I'm so glad that you're with us this morning, and I want us to open in prayer, and then we'll get started on our first lesson of Abraham. Dear Father, what a blessing it is to be studying your word with these women. I pray, dear Father, that you will speak to all of our hearts. Dear Father, I just pray right now for us to each one be settled and be focused, dear Father. I know that we've all had hard days, hard weeks behind us, dear Father. There's things that we're looking to do in the future that's got our mind, and I just pray right now that we will be able to put that aside and to rest. Dear Father, I pray that this message will touch the hearts of the women, that you will speak to each one of them individually. In Jesus' name, amen. It's part of our daily life to have relationships. Parents, children, friends, co-workers, acquaintances. It is a connection between two people. For a relationship to be formed, an introduction must take place. Some introductions are only for that moment in time. You meet someone never to see them again. Other introductions create a relationship that is seasonal. I met a wonderful friend when my youngest child was born. He was premature and very sick his first 6 months. This new friend was a nurse, and she was introduced to me at just the right time in my life. My son was hospitalized for over a week, and she was with me the entire time, staying there to help me to understand what the doctors were trying to tell me and teaching me how to take care of my child. But it was only for a season. After about a year, our families went separate ways. We still may run into each other maybe once a year, and she's a very dear friend of my heart, but we don't have the friendship that we did. Then other introductions lead into relationships that are for a lifetime. Meeting my husband has been an introduction that turned into a lifetime relationship. And my dad, he met me when I was only 6 weeks old and adopted me and my two brothers. That was an introduction that turned into a relationship for a lifetime. There are all kinds of relationships. Some are wonderful and good, while others are painful and have left emotional and physical scars. Through these relationships, we learn about ourselves as well as those we build the relationships with. It builds our character, and sometimes it scars our heart. But one of the greatest aspects of relationships is that it teaches us how to love and how to forgive. I thought a lot about you before we came together today. What type of introductions have you had in your life? Did they turn into good relationships that were for a lifetime? Were they healthy? Are you healing today because of scars received from an unhealthy relationship? Do you cherish your relationships? I then began to wonder about you from a spiritual aspect. Do you have a relationship with the Lord? Is it a new relationship? Do you struggle with trusting the Lord because of some of your past relationships and you're comparing them to God? Is your relationship with the Lord growing daily? I wondered these about you. And as we look at today's lesson, we're going to be talking about a specific relationship, one between a new believer and the Lord. We'll look at Abraham today and see five characteristics he learned about God as he was introduced to God and came to know him for the first time. What is so wonderful about studying Abraham, as well as others in the Old Testament, is that the Old Testament portrays what is happening in our lives spiritually. So we can look at Abraham's story and, in effect, learn spiritual truths and applications for ourselves in our Christian walk with God. If you have your Bible, I want you to get it, and we're going to read together Genesis 12, 1 through 7. I'm reading from the NIV. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. The first of the five characteristics we see in this passage is that God is patient. This comes from verse 1 of the passage. The Lord had said, in Acts 7, verse 2, it says, "The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran." So when Abram was in Mesopotamia, God called him. He lived in Ur. It was called Ur of the Chaldeans. He and his family went as far as Haran, and they stopped. Then, after Abram's father died in Haran, Abram left Haran to go to the place the Lord would show him. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." When I was 9 years old, I asked Jesus to be my Savior. I so desperately wanted to know God. I wanted to know His Son, Jesus Christ. I had heard how He loved me unconditionally, that He knew me, and I wanted Him to save me from my sins. I wanted to be loved. But it wasn't until I was 24 years old that I began to know my Savior as my Lord. I didn't begin to build a relationship with Him until 15 years later. God was patient with me. He waited on me. It's not that I didn't want to know Jesus as my Lord, the one to be in control of my life, the one I would surrender all of my desires to. I did want that. I just didn't know how to build that relationship. And He waited until I figured it out. Revelation 3:10 says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." God is waiting for you to let Him come in. Anne Graham Lotz was given a wonderful example of God wanting to come into our life. If you don't know who Anne is, she's a wonderful Bible teacher, speaker, and writer. She's very busy with a nonstop schedule, and when she comes home, she's tight with her schedule and doesn't have much time to sit and chat. In her home, she has a screen door and then the door. So she has two doors right there whenever you get ready to walk in. When a friend or someone comes by to drop something off, she opens the door, but she allows the screen door to stay closed. She's pleasant with the person. She smiles. She takes what they've come for, and she never lets the person come past the screen door. They see each other, but the person doesn't come into the home. After a few minutes, when the transaction has taken place, Anne politely says goodbye. What a wonderful comparison for you and me spiritually. Do we go to church, have friends who are believers, hear the Word of God spoken, but in it all, do we keep the screen door closed to the Lord coming into our home? Have you not allowed God into your life completely? Have you allowed Him into your intimate thoughts? You know, God is a gentleman. He will only come in if you invite Him. Don't wait any longer to bring God into your life fully and completely. The second characteristic of God that we see is that He wants all of you and He desires your trust. We see that also in this first verse. Abraham had come halfway when God called him. He only went to Haran and then he stopped. God doesn't just want you on Sundays. He wants you on Monday through Saturday as well. I have a friend who is a believer, but he hasn't given the Lord all of himself. He goes to church, he prays, he does everything that would make you think that he trusts the Lord fully and completely. But there's one area of his life that he hasn't given to God: his business. It's as if he thinks he can take care of that part just fine by himself. He has compartmentalized God. I mean, what if he did give that part of his life to God? What could possibly happen? He'd give up control, wouldn't he? God may ask him to take a risk that he'd have to trust the Lord through. Or God may convict him to do business a different way than he has in the past. It could be many things, but to him he thinks, why fix it if it's not broke, right? What about you? Are you a control freak? Do you want God to participate in only parts of your life but not in others? God wants all of you. He desires to be in your life with you, trusting him every day in every way. God wanted all of Abraham. He had gotten him only a portion in the beginning. Joel 2:13 in the Message says, change your life, not just your clothes. Come back to God. When I was 24, God wanted me to change my life, not just my clothes. I needed to be transformed from the inside out by giving God all of me. It was my first step to trusting him completely. He desires to have your trust. You know, when my two girls were 2 and 3 years old, my husband broke his nose playing basketball with some friends. Now, at the age of 2 and 3, something like a big white thing on their daddy's nose was pretty major. They knew it was their daddy, but he looked so different and very swollen. And when they saw him for the first time, they were afraid to get too close to him. But as they listened to his voice and began to trust that he was okay and nothing was going to happen if they got next to him, then they slowly came around. They had always trusted their daddy, but this was something they had never experienced before. It was a new step of trust for them. John 10:4 says, his children follow him because they know his voice. Is God calling you into a new territory? Do you trust him, and are you willing to take those first steps of obedience, even though it's so different than what you're used to? Are you willing to allow God to change your heart? The third characteristic is this: God will never leave you. I think that's something that all of us struggle with. God called Abraham out, and he was obedient. He traveled through the land, and the Lord appeared to him. God never left Abraham. He led Abraham to the place that God had for him. And this is a very significant passage, I think, in verses 6 and 7. When Abraham traveled through the land, the Canaanites were there. Just think about this for a minute. It's so easy to surface over Scripture and not get the meat of what we're reading. If you remember from the questions, the Canaanites were what? Yeah, they were very evil people. They are the enemy of God, meaning that they are also the enemy of Abraham. He walked away from a land that he was comfortable in, a place that what we would think of as a metroplex, where he was very successful. He had many friends and probably a beautiful home. He was well established and educated, and God took him from that place and into a land that he knew no one. He lived in a tent, and he had enemies all around. Have you ever felt this way? Have you felt that God took you out of a place where you were very comfortable, a place that you knew the people, knew what was expected of you, and you were put into an environment of loneliness, an environment of uncertainty? We see no emotion of fear from Abraham here. He was obedient to God and was with him as God led him. He comforted him. God protected him. Psalms 32:7 says, you are my hiding place, O Lord. You keep me safe from trouble. All around me are your songs of being made free. There is great freedom in Christ. When we know God as our Lord and when we focus on him, we know that he will never leave us, no matter the situation. Next is that God will instruct you. In these same verses, we read that Abraham went to the tree of Moreh at Shechem, and the Lord appeared to him, telling him that this is the land God would give to his offspring. The word Moreh means instruction, And Shechem means shoulder, which in the Hebrew was a symbol for strength. God instructed Abraham at this place in the midst of his enemies, and he gave him strength. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." God is giving us this information through Scripture so that we can prepare ourselves and our hearts for what it is that He is calling us to do. Romans 15:4 says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of Scriptures, we might have hope." My dad died this past November, and after his death, I remembered I had his Bible, and I went to find it. It was given to him in 1967. I looked it up. That was the first thing I looked at whenever I opened up the Bible. And that was the year that he became a Christian. It was the basic black King James Version. And I looked all through that Bible several times. I just wanted to find some encouragement from my dad. I wanted to find a note that he had written or a verse underlined, something to give me hope. And it wasn't there. Nothing. You know, we must turn to God for encouragement. We must turn to Him for our hope and for our instruction. Man will always let us down, but God will never leave us, and He will instruct us in times of need. Are you looking for instruction today? In your job, your marriage? Do you need to be encouraged and find hope in your future because of an illness that you're going through? Turn to the Word of God. He is there waiting to instruct you in your present situation. Is God calling you out into new, unidentified territory? Have you started the journey and there are obstacles all around you making you feel afraid, alone? Allow God to be your guide. He is always with you. Lastly, I want us to see that the characteristic that Abram learned of God in the very beginning of his relationship with the Lord is that God is worthy to be praised. And we see this in verse 7. Abraham built an altar to the Lord. Psalm 96:4 says, "For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be reverently feared and worshipped above all." I love to praise the Lord in my car, alone. I'm a closet praiser. And one day I was taking Joseph to school, my son. And on this particular morning, I had been up early with the Lord, and I just needed to feel His presence. It was a hard morning for me. And we got in the car, and I turned on my favorite praise and worship tape. And as we're driving down the street, I began to hold my hands up in the air, and I just worshiped my Lord. And Joseph was quiet for a while, and I could feel him in the back seat just kind of leaning forward. And after a while, he said, "Who are you waving at, Mom?" "I'm just praising the Lord, sweetie." And then in a few minutes, he said, "Well, remember, both hands on the wheel." Do you know God is worthy to be praised? Has everything been taken from you, as we see with Abraham? Your family, friends, job, your health, home? All that is left is to praise God. Can you praise Him even if you don't see the blessing? Praise gets our eyes off ourselves and our problems and gets our focus on Jesus. In the midst of it all, we see Abraham build an altar and worship God. He surrendered his life to the Lord. God called him, and he said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow." Abraham was introduced to the Lord, and a relationship was created, one that lasted a lifetime. As Abraham grew in his relationship, he learned wonderful things about God. He is patient, trustworthy. He will never leave you. He is a God of instruction, and He is one that is worthy to be praised. God is calling you into a relationship with Him. He is calling you to go deeper and to learn new things about His character. Are you willing to follow? What's holding you back from taking that first step? Have you gone halfway in your obedience to God and now He's waiting for you to take the next step out and move forward? It doesn't matter what your past looks like. We all have pasts. But God can use that to create a beautiful future, one of grace. You are significant in Christ, no matter what you may be allowing yourself to believe. And God has great and mighty plans in store for you, plans that were created for you to fulfill. Isaiah 43:18-19 says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." When Joseph was only about 3 years old, he wanted to have a backpack, just like his sisters who were in elementary school. And so we bought him a backpack, and it was a big backpack. It was bigger than he was. And he got the size that the girls had, but with him being so small, it went down past his bottom, and the top hit right at the center of the back of his head. Every day when we'd get to school, he'd jump out of the car and go running inside. But on one particular day, as he jumped out, he landed fairly quickly, as if he was weighted down like an acorn falling so quickly to the ground. And as he tried to run, I just noticed that he was having a problem. He was kind of leaning backwards a little bit. His balance was slightly off. I quickly stopped him and picked up his backpack off of his shoulders, and it was so heavy. As I unzipped it, I began to pull out cars and rocks, anything to weigh it down so that he could wear it, you know, on his shoulders, and it would hold down. After laughing a few minutes and getting his load a little lighter, it made me think about how we go through life. We put rocks in our backpack too. A failed marriage, loss of a job, a broken relationship, financial failure, unwise decisions that we're still living the consequence of, and it goes on and on. After a while, our backpack is so full that we can't balance, and it's hard to put one foot in front of the other. God wants you to be free of your past. He is calling you into a life with Him, one that will require you to trust and give Him your all. Are you ready to go past the introduction and into a relationship with Him? Let's pray. Dear Father, how I love You, and I thank You for calling me, dear Father, to having a relationship with You. I pray for each one of these women. I don't know their hearts, dear Father. I don't know where they are with You in a relationship. But, dear Father, I do pray that as You call them to come closer to You, that they will answer and say, "Yes, I will follow." Dear Father, I pray for each one of us as we just struggle with the difficulties that we have in our life, and we struggle with the feeling of being unworthy. And I pray that You will just place in our hearts that we are absolutely significant in Christ. We are a child of God, and You have called us to do mighty and wonderful things. Dear Father, be with us as we continue to study Your Word, as we study the life of Abraham, dear Father. Teach us through this study and show us how we can apply Your truths to our life. In Jesus' name, amen.